This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After 12 Republicans joined Democrats to block a cryptocurrency package yesterday from advancing, House lawmakers set to take up the measure again. President Trump spoke to holdouts and says he has their support. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more on the package.
Supporters championing these overall crypto bills as first of their kind, but there are concerns that one of the bills regulating a digital asset called stablecoins doesn't go far enough in regulating an often volatile industry. And Democrats point to the fact that President Trump, whose family business is building an empire on cryptocurrency, could personally benefit from the bill because a firm with ties to the Trump family recently launched its own stablecoin.
President Trump says he spoke to Republicans about the concept of firing federal chair Jerome Powell, but says it's unlikely he'll fire him. President's upset that Powell has not lowered interest rates. Two wildfires burning in Arizona near the Grand Canyon still uncontained. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Child care providers in Wisconsin say the state budget doesn't do enough for children in the state. With more, here's Civic Media's Parker Olson.
The new state budget spends over $360 million to stabilize Wisconsin's child care system. It was a key demand for Governor Evers in budget negotiations with Republican lawmakers. The state funding comes as federal funding has run out. The pandemic-era relief program, Child Care Counts, has sent out its final payments. But providers say the state budget still falls short. Outside the state capitol on Friday, they described just how fragile the industry remains.
This week, I experienced one of the most difficult moments since opening. My entire staff has resigned. For 6 months, I've been trying to hire new teachers, but every qualified candidate needed a starting wage of at least $17 per hour, a rate I simply cannot offer without additional funding.
That's Ashley Blackett, owner of Tiny Diney Academy in Durand, Northwest Wisconsin. Advocates say the industry is being squeezed on three sides. Child care is too expensive for families, too costly to run, and pays too little to retain staff. The new two-year state budget directs money in multiple ways, to parents, to providers, and to systemic fixes. Governor Evers has declared 2025 the year of the kid and said he wouldn't sign a budget that lacked child care funding. The budget also increases special education reimbursements, though not as much as advocates wanted. Last year, voters approved a record number of school district referenda, raising local taxes to make up for education costs. That's according to a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Corrine Hedrickson, who runs Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus, says that kind of pressure could backfire, especially given the way the budget is being sold by the education governor.
And as soon as the schools start raising property taxes, the community no longer trusts the people that they thought they trusted. And it's not the politicians, because they don't trust the politicians the way it is.
Demonstrators also delivered a letter to the governor's office Friday, saying he should call the legislature into a special session for more funding. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Another win for the National League. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game ended after nine innings, all tied up 6-6. So for the first time, instead of extra innings, they had a tiebreaker called a swing-off. Batters getting three chances to hit a home run. Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies got hot, hitting all three out of the park to lead the National League 4-3. It's only the second time in 12 years the NL has beat the American League in the Midsummer Classic. And Brewers pitchers Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski each able to play in the game. McGill retiring the batter he faced, the Miz, 3 out of 4, allowing just one hit. NBA, now that the Bucks have signed center Miles Turner, do they still need to add a shooting guard like Damian Lillard?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I like our team. I really do. I like all the guys that we brought back. Miles mentioned it. Those signings were intentional.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
A tornado watch has been issued and lasts until 6 o'clock tonight. A few tornadoes are possible, scattered damaging wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour, and large hail. Alongside heavy, soaking rainfall, flash floods are possible. Stay safe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress. For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Chris Larson. We discuss how to bring Democrats together and have productive disagreements. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
On location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
We're all born to be free. We're all born to be great. We're all looking for the Hollywood sign and trying to find the interstate. We're all grown from the same old roots. We're all kicking in the same old boots. We're all stars and stripes and Friday night lights. Living it up, falling in love tonight. Somewhere, sometime. Swing a little, drink a little, sun goes down. We're all saved by Jesus and our mama's prayers. We're all a little lost and found in some town, somewhere.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh here on location at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It's our Some Town Somewhere tour with Jane Matinere and Greg Bach for the rest of the week. That's right. We're going to Some Towns Somewhere. Today it is Oshkosh at the EAA Museum. Welcome in, everybody. We're happy to have you here. It is the 16th of July, 2025. It is Wednesday. That means it's
Hump Day.
That's right. Even the camel flew up there. You know how expensive it is to fly a camel from Madison to Oshkosh? Well, here he is on location, and we're happy to have that. Also, our great producer, engineer Aaron Zomer is back at the world headquarters down in Madison, Wisconsin. And joining us as per usual on a Wednesday, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9. Mr. Pat Kreitlow from beautiful Lake Wissota, where we were last week, and from the nation's capital in the Tony suburbs of Washington, D.C., the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigvi Olsen. Gentlemen, how the heck are you?
Fine, but confused. I don't understand. This is the fly-in, the air venture, or people flying stuff from all over. Yes. So why is Mr. Luxury Jet sitting at his house, apparently? Is he not?
You would think that Trigvi would have flown in.
I know. The last of the jet setters. He still has his original, one of the original Pan Am pilot uniforms that he likes to wear occasionally.
Right.
With the little captain's wings on there. And he's not there yet for you.
Trigvi, how are you?
I did not know where Pat was going with that one.
Right.
He's talking about you guys as the jet setters.
We need to turn up Trigvi's volume just a tad.
Oh, my volume is down? Do I need to? I might need to talk louder.
All right, very good. That's always helpful. I appreciate that, guys. Well, before we get to our first guest here, have a great guest I want to get to. But, guys, have either one of you been here before? And if so, either to the museum or the EA Air Show, and what are your favorite memories?
Have not. It's on the Wisconsin bucket list for someday.
Yeah.
How about you, Trigvi?
I have never been.
Really? Well, you're,
so we're going to learn stuff this hour.
You're actually
it's the
learn
wrong
stuff.
Side of the state for guys like Pat and I.
Oh no, we get around.
They're Northwest Wisconsin guys. Right.
We'll get there.
I've been before. I'll get into that more later. My youngest godson really was the reason we came up here. I've been here a couple of times now. It's fantastic. So Pat and Travy are going to stand by with us, and you guys could chime in with a couple of questions whenever you so choose. But joining me here live at the table inside this beautiful museum. And by the way, if you'd like to see this, you can stream it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X, Twix, whichever you want to call it there. Really, really gorgeous right now. We are in one of the hangars of the museum. See the big U.S. American flag from the rafters. You see some historic biplanes there behind me. And they're kind of moving things around because they're going to have a big reception as a part of EAA in this hangar. So that's really been a lot of fun to watch that happen. But joining me right now at the table, Mr. David Lighting, who is the program manager for the Young Eagles program. David, thanks so much for taking the time and welcome to the show.
Yeah, absolutely, Todd. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for picking Oshkosh and EAA as your location for today.
Well, it's our pleasure. Really, really an honor, quite frankly, to be here. And maybe we'll get into this more later, but you have some historic displays. There's a helicopter here, I believe, used in Vietnam, and it really tells the story of not just flight, but America's heroes, our veterans as well. People can learn not just about flight, but about our nation's history when they come here.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, so we'll get into kind of my story in a moment here, but to me, one of the coolest things about EAA and this museum and the event is it means something a little bit different to everybody that comes. Like you said, you've got the people that the magic of flight is what pulled them in. For some people, it's aviation history and military history. For some, it's the innovation. So it's really cool to have a museum here where we have an area dedicated to the military history, and then we've got the innovations area and the membership stuff. So, yeah, just a really unique place and kind of highlights everything that we're all about.
Really great to be here again. I appreciate you stopping by. Tell us, David, about your story, where you're from, where you grew up, a little bit about yourself, and then how you got into flight.
Yeah, so my story is a pretty fun one, I like to think. So I grew up in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Nice. You were just in Racine yesterday.
Were you? Perfect. Yeah, is that where you got the Kringle?
Yes,
of
exactly.
Course,
I was brought
course.
It up from O&H.
Yep, exactly. So I grew up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Neither of my parents were involved in aviation. They were enthusiasts, and they started coming up to Oshkosh for EAA back in the 80s. And I was born in 94, in January of 94. In July of 94, my mom brought me here for a day trip at 6 months old. And I've been every year since 1994. So I grew up coming here. I started camping in 98, I believe it was, with my mom and dad, and slowly started staying an extra few days, up to the point where in high school and college I was coming for 10 days and volunteering. And wow. We'll talk about the Young Eagles program in just a moment, but I was able to take a couple of free introductory flights through the Young Eagles program, one of them in 2002 to kick off the afternoon air show here at AirVenture. And then I took one back at the Kenosha Airport a couple years after that. Mm-hmm. Decided to pursue aviation as a career. Unfortunately, I'm colorblind. So I have some medical restrictions as it relates to when I can fly and types of flying I can do, but I can still fly for fun. So if you would have asked me when I was 18 or 19 years old, what do you want to do for a living? My answer probably would have been, I'd love to go work in Oshkosh for EAA, because the organization had just, you know, meant a lot to me to, you know, bring me a lot of passion for aviation. So I went to college up at the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks, got a degree in aviation management while I was up there, and I got involved with one of our EAA chapters. So we have 900 chapters around the country, really around the world, most of which are in the United States and Canada. Through that chapter, I got to know some of the staff members here at EAA, and my senior year, they just called me up one day and said, hey, would you like to intern for us for a little while? And at the end of that internship, they said, hey, do you want to stick around full time? And I've been in various departments here at EAA, but I've been overseeing the Young Eagles program now for about 3.5 years, but I've been here 10 years. And it's pretty cool that now I get to work on a program that was sort of a major stepping stone for me into my aviation life. And as much as it's my day job, it's also just kind of my passion in my life. So,
yeah, I mean, Pat has done shows with me, particularly when in Northwestern Wisconsin. Trigby and I have traveled all over the state. And I know that one of my favorite things is hearing stories like you, people who have a passion for something and then can end up doing it in Wisconsin. And I just love that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really it was kind of a match made in heaven for me. I mean, I love the state of Wisconsin. Growing up here, spending summers here, even winters, I mean, I love everything about the state, especially the Fox Valley. And when I went up to North Dakota, there was a bit of homesickness being up there, and it became my home for, you know, the 4 years I was there. But I always knew if I could come back home, I wanted to be. And it's really nice to be here in this area and, again, doing something that, you know, I would do in my free time and I would use my vacation time on. So it's I'm pretty lucky to do what I do.
I'm going to give Pat and Trigby a chance in a minute, but first, tell us just a little bit, set this up. What is the Young Eagles program and what is being the manager of that? What is your role?
Yeah, so the Young Eagles program was launched in 1992 right here in Oshkosh during AirVenture. And it was launched with the goal of flying 1 million youth by the centennial of flight, which was December 17th, 2003, which was 100 years from when the Wright brothers took the first flight. And EAA came up with this goal of flying 1 million kids by that date to help fuel that next generation of pilots and aviation enthusiasts. So we launched the campaign then. We flew 1 million kids by September of 2003 that year, so we met the goal. And by the way, these are all done by volunteers free of charge. It's volunteers that are spending their own time, money, fuel, aircraft, maintenance to fly these kids. And since that time, the program's continued to go on. It's matured a little bit. We don't fly as many kids per year, but that's because we've now spun the program to be more about how do we give these kids the best gateway to aviation. It's not just a numbers game. But even at that, we're now coming up on 2.5 million kids between the ages of 8 and 17 that we've given their first introductory flight to, free of charge by volunteers.
Incredible. Pat?
Let me ask you, David, I know all the time you see people who you're like kindred spirits. You've wanted to fly since, as long as you can remember. And that's great. That's a wonderful, you know, fraternity, if you will. But I'd rather hear about people who they come there and they're coming as spectators. Maybe they even got dragged in there. And you see them and maybe the next time you see them, suddenly now they're the ones that are interested. Because I have to admit, I, as not being one of those folks, I don't see how that changes, but other people do. So talk about the experience of somebody who's not really sure if this is their thing, and next thing you know, they can't get enough flight and planes and everything about them.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely plenty of examples of that, and it's pretty interesting. I think oftentimes the people who come over to this side of the fence, if you will, that maybe didn't expect to come over, are the people that maybe had a fear of flying, or they had a misconception about what aviation actually is. And it takes getting to know this community, whether it be through a family member or a friend. I mean, if you look at our membership and our people that are our folks that are very involved, the vast majority say they got involved through word of mouth. So really it's having a connection, whether it's a good friend or maybe just an acquaintance that brings you in and kind of changes your perspective. And oftentimes these, for the kids, it's the Young Eagles flights, but we also do adult introductory flights called Eagle flights. And there's kind of a paradigm shift. When you get them out to the airport, you get them in the airplane, and they kind of have this realization that, so you're telling me I can come out to the airport, I can get in this airplane, and we can just go anywhere. We don't have to ask permission. We don't have to, you know, there's no special, you know, permissions needed. It's, nope, you get your pilot certificate, and you've got a ticket to freedom, quite literally. And I always tell people, you could fly theoretically from, not theoretically, people have done this, you can fly from New York City to Los Angeles or, you know, within the metro area without ever once talking to an air traffic controller on the radio. You can just get in your airplane and go. And it is the ultimate form of freedom. And really, this is the only place in the world you can really do something like that.
We're speaking with David Lighting. He's the Young Eagles program manager here at the EAA. We're in Oshkosh on location. Trigby, a minute and a half left before the break. Have something?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as you know, Todd, my daughter, who's just turned 16, got her pilot's license before she got her driver's license, which is nuts to me. And now she's over in Europe for the rest of the summer, and I'm going to get over there in a few weeks, and she's already working on getting hours in while she's over there. So it's pretty crazy. I just, you know, as you were talking, I just keep thinking, it is amazing that in a, you know, a state like Wisconsin, you have something like the Oshkosh Air Show, right? Like it's one of those things that makes Wisconsin such a unique place filled with opportunity. And I'm sitting here thinking, I know Ula sometimes listens when I'm on Wednesdays, Todd, mostly because she likes to listen to you and Pat give me a bad time.
What?
Right. But, you know, I guarantee you if she's listening to this one, which she probably is, I'm going to get a phone call in a bit saying, why haven't you ever taken me to the Oshkosh Air Show?
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
I'm pretty confident.
Have to get her here next year. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a little break here and do a little business, as they say. When we come back, we'll talk more with David Lighting. He's the Young Eagles program manager. Going to ask him the question, how does one really start? I mean, if you have a kid like Trigby does and wants to get involved in Young Eagles, is it just in Wisconsin or is it in other places across the state? We'll find that out more. Also, a quick check of weather, some rough storms rolling through parts of Wisconsin, and much, much more. We're live on location at the EAA Museum in beautiful Oshkosh, Wisconsin, home of WISS. It's the All Ball Show across the state on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Powerball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, home of the EAA Air Show Museum. We're at the museum of this beautiful hangar, historical hangar here. Welcome back. Zomers, what did you dial up there? It sounded like James Bond almost. What was that?
8 miles high by the birds.
You didn't know this?
Very, very theme song, very theme-esque. I love that. Joining us, a cadre. We have a blessing, a cadre of folks here on the show today. As per usual, on Wednesday, the host of mornings of Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow is joining us from Lake Wasota. Mr. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor, Lincoln Project from our nation's capital. And here at the desk at the EAA Museum is David Lighting. He is the Young Eagles Program Manager. David, I want to make sure we get this in and don't run out of time. To the question we were talking before we stepped away, if someone's listening, Trigby has a daughter getting her pilot's license before her driver's license. If they're listening to you and they're like, well, that sounds pretty cool, do they have to come here to Oshkosh? Are there programs throughout the state? How does one become involved in the Young Eagles program in Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. So the beautiful thing about our organization, over 300,000 members strong, like I said, the 900 chapters, we've got our boots on the ground across the entire country, across the entire state. So no matter where you're at, you can get involved. And I always tell people, getting involved in aviation, especially from a right from the jump, when you don't know anything, it can be a little intimidating. You know, it's people think airports, they think fences and do not enter and all the security things. But the good news is within our 900 chapters, we have members around the country that are there to help you, you know, get to the other side of the fence quite literally. So I always tell people the first thing to do is find your local EAA chapter, reach out to them, say, hey, you know, hey, my name's Joe. I live in your area. I don't know much about aviation, but I want to get involved. Maybe I want to learn to fly. Maybe I just want to be around it as an enthusiast. I'd love to come out and learn more from you guys. At that point, they might be able to give you a free introductory flight and start to mentor you through how do you find a flight school that can work with you, or a flying club, or what's it going to cost, or who are the flight instructors? Because, again, there's hundreds of questions, but having somebody in your own backyard that knows the community better than anyone to lean on is a great asset.
Craigie?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I found fascinating as we've kind of gone through this process is there's a lot of scholarships and other opportunities, too, for young pilots. Help with hours and all kinds of things.
Yeah, we launched a new scholarship program about 6 years ago, which now today it's a $12,000 flight training scholarship to fund the primary flight training of folks between the ages of 16 and 19. And we do about 220 of those scholarships annually. Wow. So since we've launched the program, we're coming up on almost 700 or 800 pilots that have come out of that scholarship program. Even just within EAA alone, we have hundreds and hundreds of scholarships annually.
Because I think that's a question that comes up a lot. Well, do I have to come from a rich family to get into aviation? And you're telling me between the YouTube, not necessarily, no.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, even if you're, say you're a little bit older and you don't qualify for the youth scholarships, there are some adult scholarships, and I always tell people at the end of the day, it is going to cost money to be involved, but you know what else costs money? Having a boat,
right.
Having a lake house, having season tickets to the Brewers or the Packers, going on vacation. It's all about where does this fit in with your life priorities. And I have some friends in Appleton, a husband and wife. She was a school teacher. He was an engineer. They have their very own airplane, but that's their, you know, that's, they say that's our lake house. That's our boat. Our airplane and going on trips with that is our, you know, that's our
and the freedom that comes with that, as you said earlier.
Yep, exactly.
Right? Yeah,
exactly.
Pat, can you talk a bit about the community support for this? Because again, something this massive can't happen with, you know, just paid staff or even a few supporters. I mean, it literally takes more than a village. It takes the city of Oshkosh. Can you talk about community support for this event every year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the event moved here in 1970. Permanently. And one of the main reasons we ended up here permanently was because at that time, the community was so willing to support the event. We have roughly 6,000 volunteers that come out and help put the show together, which completely dwarfs those of us that are on staff. And I always tell people if the staff disappeared for a week, the event would still go on because the volunteers just contribute so much. But it's so interesting because you meet these volunteers, and many of which are from around the country, and they're tied to this event is that they are aviation enthusiasts. But there's also a really large chunk of these volunteers that live in Oshkosh year-round. They live in Fond du Lac. They live in the Fox Valley. And they don't have a tie to aviation necessarily, but their family has been associated with the event since it moved here in 1970. And now for generations, it's grandma and grandpa, it's the parents, it's the kids, and they all volunteer together. And this is their way of welcoming the world to Oshkosh.
David, what have we not asked you yet that you think is important for folks to know about the Young Eagles program here?
So I think the biggest thing about the Young Eagles program is, like I said, it's completely free. There's no strings attached. There's no expectation from the families or the kids. What's really cool is the local chapters typically fly on the weekends where they put on these rallies. Folks can find those at youngeaglesday.org, youngeaglesday.org. Can't find an event in your area. This week and next week, we're not doing it because we've got a little bit of an event going on.
But a few million people.
Just about 200 yards behind us, there's a grass runway called Pioneer Airport. Yeah. And all summer long, we do free Young Eagles flights every day from about 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Zomers will put it in the show notes, youngeaglesday.org. Get more information there. David Lighting, Young Eagles Program Manager, cannot thank you enough. Please come back on the show again. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. And enjoy the museum while you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly will. Pat Kreitlow, as always, thank you for joining us for this half hour. What's coming up tomorrow on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow?
Tomorrow we speculate out loud as to whether you make an escape from Winnebago County and continue on with your road trip and head up toward Park Falls and Hayward. We'll be wishing you all the best. Also, State Senator Jeff Smith will talk about that missing funding for homeless veterans.
All right.
What's up with that? We'll find out.
What's up with that? What's up with that? My favorite Kenan Thompson bit on Saturday Night Live, as a matter of fact. We'll be listening, Pat Kreitlow. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate you making time for us today. Join Pat every morning from 6 until 9 on Mornings of Pat Kreitlow. And Trigvi Olsen, sticking around for the next half hour, my friend?
I am.
All right, sounds good. Trigvi will join us, and also Danielle Schmick on the other side, talking about the education side of the EAA and young people as well. Don't go anywhere. We're live on location at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That yummy ice cream treat that you enjoy might look a little different in the future. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. That's because the ice cream industry is the first to pledge that they are going to discontinue use of certain artificial colors from ice cream products made with real milk by December 31st, 2027. Now, if it's a complicated flavor, that can take a little longer, according to Shannon Simon, marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream.
Pirate's Bounty obviously uses M&Ms. So we would have to be on waiting on Mars to kind of change their food dye before we'd have the availability to change our food dyes. So we are kind of at the mercy of a few other companies that needs to make their changes first. But for something like our strawberry and our Blue Moon that uses some dyes, we are considering alternatives that would still provide the same taste. So it is something that our team is actively working on. But it's going to take some time before we can finally fully execute, you know, a whole dye-free ice cream flavor.
Shannon Simon, she's the marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream, explaining how truly complicated those kinds of changes can be. Now, the International Dairy Foods Association says right now, U.S. ice cream companies are pledging to eliminate the use of red dye number 3, red number 40, green 3, blue 1, blue 2, yellow 5, and yellow 6 from their ice cream and frozen dairy desserts by 2028.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward. Our voting members set policy that guides the organization on the local, state, and national level with the ultimate goal of helping farmers like you and me back home. You can make a difference by becoming a member at WFEF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
And while the ice cream industry may be one of the first to walk away from certain artificial food dyes, in some states, it's becoming mandatory. Texas is already requiring warning labels on 44 ingredients. Louisiana just created a law controlling 50 ingredients, some prohibited in schools and some banned throughout the state. The ingredient conversation continues. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A tornado watch has been issued and lasts until 6 o'clock tonight. A few tornadoes are possible, scattered damaging wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour, and large hail. Alongside heavy, soaking rainfall, flash floods are possible. Stay safe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us, dine at the feast of all feasts. Don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road trip continues. Matinair on air and Todd Alba broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery in Butternut. Absolutely join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
The Tallyball Show here at the EAA Museum on location in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Glad to have you along. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach started things off earlier today with Matinair on air from 9 until 11. We are simply trying to live up to their great show that they had. So we're trying. And every guest that we bring on helps. So, and by the way, checked out. Always like checking out the local newspapers whenever we come to town. Here is the Oshkosh Northwest. Western. Look at that headline. EAA Air Adventure starts next week in Oshkosh, and it has a B-2 bomber right on the front page. That's fantastic. And then the Oshkosh Herald also says final preparations underway as EAA Air Venture arrives. So making all kinds of news up here at this annual event. Also making news before we continue with the show. Just want to bring you up to speed here. A tornado watch remains watch, which means conditions are right. Remains in effect until 6 p.m. tonight for most of the state of Wisconsin, say from south of Highway 29. Basically draw a line from Green Bay over to not quite to Eau Claire and then down to La Crosse. Everything south of that in the state of Wisconsin under a tornado watch. Been some pretty heavy weather. As a matter of fact, had a tornado warning expire at the bottom of the hour for listeners in the Madison area. That's more the actual storms were over towards Sun Prairie, Stoughton, Lake Mills area, and those are moving now towards a Watertown. Have been no longer a tornado warning, but some pretty heavy weather moving into now where we're at, basically, in the Oshkosh area. So our great team will keep us up to speed on that. Remember, if you encounter a storm like that, particularly water over the road, don't drive through it. As they say, turn around, don't drown on the roadways here today. As we said, Trigvi Olson, our ongoing contributor and friend, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us from his home out in Washington, D.C., or the suburbs thereof. Not talking so much politics today, but his daughter, as you said, Trigvi, earlier, one of your daughters just got her pilot's license, so you can relate to what's going on here in Oshkosh.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the... I am... As I said on the earlier bit, she usually listens to the show when I'm on, Todd, and I'm going to get an earful that we're not out in Oshkosh for the show.
So. Well, next year. We can plan it.
Yeah, for sure.
Get her here next year. Joining me now here at the desk, we appreciate everyone from EAA making time for us at Air Adventure because it is a very, very busy time around here, is Danielle Schmick. She is the Aero Educate Program Manager. Danielle, thanks for making time. Welcome to the program.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Before we get into what your program does, tell folks a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got into aviation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've lived within this area my entire life, within about 10 miles from here. I grew up in a small town, Winneconne, and
really?
Yeah.
My dad coached wrestling at Winneconne years ago, but anyway, go ahead.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, and I now currently have crossed over to Omro, which don't tell anybody because that's a big rivalry, but...
Right.
So grew up there and went into education. So I was actually a math teacher for 10, 11 years and then a middle school and high school principal for a number of years. After the pandemic, just needed to kind of reset a little bit and needed to explore some other options that I could take my skill set and help kids. And EAA was a great option and an amazing opportunity for me to just take those skills and translate them over here. So I'm learning a lot about aviation. I don't have a deep background in it growing up, but you know, taking, like I said, being able to take that information and teach kids in an effective and engaging way has definitely been a lot of fun. So I guess I've transitioned a little bit from being the stereotypical regional bystander of watching the Air Venture show come and go as much. I'd been here a few times for the show, but it a little bit more, kind of surrendered to the crowds for many, many years and just said, you know what, you guys can have Oshkosh for that week and we'll take it back when you guys are head out. And now I'm in the thick of it, which is really exciting. So it's interesting to see it from the inside versus the outside.
Trigby, how many times on our trips around the state doing these What Makes Wisconsin Great tours have we encountered something and we're like, oh, I didn't know that. I don't know about you, Trigby, but to say that, oh, here is a longtime educator, yeah, and administrator, and now you're using those skills to educate kids. When I drive by, I don't think, well, there's a whole education program for this for kids.
Right. And I think EAA has really emphasized youth education more so within the last 5-7 years. We've always had youth education, but with the addition of our education center, which just opened in 2022, Aero Educate is our online program that launched in 2022. So we've really expanded recently, which is really exciting. But yeah, we're here to share what we have available because I don't know if many are aware of what we have.
I wasn't until we met you, and this is what the great parts about these tours. So tell us a little bit. We're speaking with Danielle Schmick. She is the Aero Educate program manager here at EAA. Aero Educate program. So is it dedicated to K-12 kids? What's the age range and what are the programs that you all offer?
Yeah, great question. So Aero Educate is online. It's a web-based program, absolutely free for our users. And it goes all the way down to kindergarten up through 12th grade. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about it being web-based is now we can start a connection with kids pretty much anywhere, right? Our chapters do an amazing job of connecting with kids in person, and those who can make it here on site is a way for us to connect with them, but not all kids can do that.
Right.
So it's really been a helpful resource for us to just start getting connected to these kids, get them excited about aviation. But yeah, it is completely free for all those kids, thanks to our sponsors, United, Siemens, Piper, and NATCA, have all really devoted to making sure that it's a free resource for those kids.
And you have a website or somewhere where people can go to get more information?
You bet. Everything is at aeroeducate.org. There are online activities within the program. There are hands-on projects that kids can do at home. There's experiences that they can try, like go to an aviation museum or go to an air show, things like that. And they get points for doing all these activities that are aviation related, and they earn badges along the way. So it's just kind of fun incentive.
Wow, that's just amazing. Trigby Olson, anything to add there? Ask.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, it gets to something that we talk about a lot, Todd, how much education's the heartbeat of the small and medium-sized and big towns in the state of Wisconsin. And it's, traditionally something that in no way should be red or blue. It's mm-hmm. It's green and gold, man.
Yes.
What makes Wisconsin great.
Good one. That's perfect. No, yeah, you bet.
I mean, this is something that does cut through not only just political lines, mm-hmm. but to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, so often, and Trigby and I have done this show all over the state, and this seems to be a program, aviation, yeah, and making it accessible and interesting. Doesn't matter whether a kid's in a rural farm town, whether they're in inner city Milwaukee, doesn't matter whether they're white, black, Latino. This is a boy, girl. This is something everybody should be apprised of.
Yes. And when I really started with EIA, my very first question was, what was the original mission and how does it relate to where we're at today? Has the mission changed, right? And the answer was Paul Poberesny, our founder, wanted to have this organization accessible to anybody. And this started in the 50s. So that's pretty incredible that even at that time, like you mentioned, race, gender, socioeconomic status, nothing was a barrier at that moment. Like we still have resources available for financial support. You know, we might not be able to break down every barrier, but we are definitely a resource and continue to keep that mission going. And I think that's why EAA continues to maintain and grow, and even the air show. I think everybody just feels welcome.
And again, because we drive by, we hear a lot about the fly-ins, and that's a huge part of it, right? But all these other things that you're involved with, all these programs to educate folks, that's the untold story. That's part of why we wanted to come up here, and thanks for doing this, because it means a lot. By the way, if you're watching on the stream, or if you can hear, no, we're not being invaded. We're in a hangar. We're one of these wonderful, beautiful hangars that have history, they have displays, and they're getting ready. They're moving some of these big displays around because there's going to be some big reception here, right? Over 1,000 people?
Big banquet in here, on Thursday night of Air Venture. So got to get it all set up.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It looked really like they had the U.S. military passing behind you, Todd.
Yes.
Yeah, is that one of the historical tanks or one of the historical vehicles, I think? Yep. I'm not sure. But no, they have military equipment and everything else up here. So it's pretty cool, Trigby. You got to make sure we get you out here next year for this.
Yes.
I think I know. Ula's going to want to come along on that ride with you.
Yeah, I'm sure. Maybe fly out. Maybe she'll fly
out,
right?
She'll probably want to be Uncle Todd's guest on the show.
She's been before. We can get her on again.
Yeah.
Talk to us a minute, Danielle. We're talking with Danielle Schmick, the Aero Educate Program Manager here. So I came a few years ago. I think it was my second time. My younger godson really was passionate about aviation and about aerospace. He ended up getting a mechanical engineering aerospace degree at UW-Madison.
Fantastic.
And we came here and he went around some of the tables and talked to us a little bit about the opportunities beyond just flying for education, whether it's joining the military, going to school, that people can learn and bring their kids here and learn about.
Yeah, absolutely. We have an area on the grounds called Aviation Gateway Park that is dedicated to educating those who are looking for the answer to that question, right? So we have anywhere from formal universities here that have any type of aviation program. Military is also represented here, your trade schools, your tech schools, things like that. So there's lots of options to really connect with those groups directly. But we also have a lot of forums that you can attend where you can learn more about what all those options are and how to get your foot in the door or things that you can do today to get yourself prepared for that type of pathway. So there's a lot of connections you can make directly, but also just information that you can learn at our forums and workshops as well.
I think it's incredible. Like I said, my youngest godson, Jason, ended up getting a job at Department of Defense and works out in Bremerton, Naval Base, not directly in aviation, but his kind of specialty in aviation aerospace was vibration stuff, which is applicable to other places in the military. So
I think even just whether it's whatever pathway it is that you take, I think there's a misconception or a lot of us just jump to the conclusion that piloting is the option, right?
All kinds of other jobs.
It's endless, pretty much anything you can think of. I mean, if you're a carpenter, you could be building, the cabinets in a private jet, things like that. So it pretty much you could use your imagination to find any connection to aviation, which is really exciting.
And if you come out to the EAA, you can find a private.
You bet.
If you want to shop for private jets, you can actually see.
I got those.
Right?
Just bring your checkbook.
Exactly. That's all you
need. I want a Dassault X9. I just can't afford it.
No promises.
Me and Taylor Swift.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic.
Yep.
If Danielle, I had one, I would be in Oshkosh in about 2 hours.
Right? See, but you don't, Trippy. Well, sadly, but no. Danielle, tell us, what have we not asked you yet that you think is important for folks across the state to hear about the Aero Educate program?
Well, I think just getting started with it, checking out the website is one thing. If you're coming to the air show, of course, we're going to have resources here to help share that information and get you more familiar with it as well. But even when I think about the air show itself, just getting your child involved in aviation in general and knowing that Aero Educate can be a part of that. Arriving here on the grounds, my first stop, whether you've been to Air Venture or not, and if you have kids, stop by our Youth Welcome Center. It's right on Celebration Way on the main drag to Boeing Plaza. You can't miss it. But it has Aero Educate information there, but also our Young Eagle Eagles information. I know you're just talking to David before. We have a fun activities inside the tent and a map that will show you where all the kids' locations are on the grounds so that you know you have some direction and where to go. So first step is just taking a step. And as soon as you branch into the aviation community, it's so welcoming. So
minute left. Fair to say that when I came up here, I was surprised how easy actually it was to park. It wasn't really overwhelming.
They're like 10
Not
seconds.
At all. Everyone figures it out. It reminds me of an airport.
Danielle Schmick, thank you very much. We'll come back with Tricky after this. It's the Oddball Show at Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Show live on location from the EAA Museum in beautiful Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Glad to have you along here live on location. And many thanks to Danielle Schmick, the Aero Education Educate Program Manager, for being on. Great job. Always glad to have all these great folks here at the EAA joining us from our nation's capital via StreamYard. Trigvi Olson, the senior advisor, or a senior advisor, at the Lincoln Project, as we continue to tag team here with our great friends, Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach of Matt Nair on Air. They started things out from 9 until 11 today, and now we're here. And tomorrow, Jane and Greg kick things off up a beautiful Butternut, Going to be talking to some artisans up there. Jane and I are going to be involved in a clay throwdown. We're going to see who can throw down a pot the quickest. And then Greg Bach is going to be doing some acrylics. So we're looking forward to that.
Todd. Yeah. Todd, they're moving an atomic bomb behind you.
Yes,
for those who are watching on the stream, they're literally moving an atomic little boy is being moved.
Is that what it's
Todd.
Called, a little
this
boy?
Maybe the end of Todd's show.
If I have to go out, it'll be in a blaze of glory with an atomic bomb.
Just the end of Todd's show? Well, is that the thing we're most concerned about?
I just want to be the first one to tweet it going off.
No, seriously, we're in this hangar here at the EAA Museum. And for those watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like, they are moving an atomic bomb. I'm hoping it's not been, whatever you want to call it, lit. It's like a rocket, but it's a full like metal atomic bomb or whatever. It's very interesting. So they're moving things around here at the hangar, the museum, because they have their big event, big reception, I guess. 1,000 people or so here at the EAA. So that's going on. Also, I want to get to this. Have some heavy weather moving through parts of Wisconsin at this hour. Last we checked, tornado watch in effect until 6 p.m. For most of the state of Wisconsin, say from Green Bay over to just south of Eau Claire, and then everything kind of south of that, except for the far, far southwestern corner. Grant and Crawford counties not involved in that tornado watch, but the rest of the state is until 6 p.m. tonight. Some heavy storms moving through the state of Wisconsin. Trying to get my computer to reload here, but I believe there is an actual tornado warning right now for parts of Sauk County, so that is just south of just south of Wisconsin Dells near the Baraboo area. So if you are in central or eastern Sauk County, you have a tornado warning in effect right now. So that would include listeners on WRCE in Richland Central would be involved in that, and perhaps WMDX out of Madison as well. So a tornado watch in effect until for about another half hour or so for parts of eastern and central Sauk County. And I believe, let's see, we'll pull up another one here. Have another tornado warning now just being issued for central parts of Columbia County in south central Wisconsin and east central Sauk County in south central Wisconsin until 3:30 this afternoon. He's at 2:48, a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado was located near Lake Wisconsin, moving northeast at 35 miles per hour. Some of the places included in the line of these storms: Portage, Lake Wisconsin, Merrimack, Interstate 90, 94, Exchange. So be aware of that. Again, a tornado warning until 3:30 this afternoon for central Columbia County in south central Wisconsin and east central Sauk County as well. We'll keep you apprised of that. So be aware, some pretty heavy weather moving through parts of Wisconsin at this hour. Our wonderful Terry Barr, one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio every Saturday night on WMDX in Madison. You could also stream them and find them on the Civic Media app via WMDX. Terry watching in on YouTube today. She says, I love the EAA. Fortunate to have covered it for 14 years while at University of Wisconsin Oshkosh and at Fox 11 in Green Bay. We'd anchor our news on site on top of an RV. How about that? Riding on an experimental plane and the Concorde? Wait a minute. Terry Barr rode on the Concorde, Trigby.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, really.
She's a woman
I never
about
rode
town.
On the Concorde. How about you? Yeah, exactly.
No, I've never ridden.
I wouldn't
Concorde.
Get in an experimental plane. No way. You know, it's
you
crazy
not.
For someone who spent as much of my life on airplanes.
And you
I'm
have.
Really not a fan of. I like flying well enough, but
right,
it still makes me a little nervous.
Well, but you fly well. We'll just say that.
Well, if you fly enough, you fly well.
All right. He's a man of the world himself, Trigby Olson. Trigby, a couple of minutes left here in this special show. Any reflections on our time here at the EAA or any memories? Again, it's just part of one of these things that makes Wisconsin great.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, think about all the things that make Wisconsin great. Like all of this sucking on limes and lemons that you hear from the politicians. You got Summerfest, you got EAA, you got the Packer training camp starting up soon. You've got colleges and universities. You got, you know, like, in fact, Todd, I didn't tell you. So this year, you know, Ula's starting college hunting.
Right.
So we're going to go and do the University of Wisconsin, go to a Badger football game, which they've never done, and they want to jump around. And then we're going to go to a Packer game that same weekend.
Wow, that's fantastic. Good for you guys. That's
For sure.
Well, and that's why
people forget how many great things there are to do in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I think that's why we do these things in large part to remind, if nothing else, right, ourselves. Because we heard this when Pat and I were up at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls last week. I ran into people who said, I just don't do straight news anymore through mainstream media or whatever because I can't take all the negativity. It just brings me down my mental health. And so I think these are good, not to gloss over the important things, we still talk about that, but to remind people there are wonderful things that bind us together in this state.
Well, and here's the other thing. I was thinking about this. You're in Oshkosh. Wasn't our fan who came and had lunch with us in Seattle, she's a nurse in Oshkosh.
That's right. Shout out to her. Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor at Lincoln Project. Thanks so much, my friend, for joining us for this part of the show. We'll see you next week.
For this or that, Todd.
Oh, he's going to stay for some.
Are you kicking?
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump criticized Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, renewing his calls for Powell to lower interest rates. The president also says he talked in concept of firing Powell with Republicans, but says it's highly unlikely he'll fire him.
I talked about the concept of firing him. I said, what do you think? Almost every one of them said I should. But I'm more conservative than they are.
President Trump nominated Powell during his first term in the White House. President Biden kept Powell as chair for another four-year term. The House taking up a cryptocurrency package again a day after 12 Republicans joined Democrats to block the spending measures from advancing to the floor. More than 100 wildfires are burning in the U.S., two of them in Arizona near the Grand Canyon. Some rain helping fire crews today, but both fires are still 0% contained. And in the Gulf, a tropical storm could develop in the next 48 hours, targeting the Gulf Coast. This is ABC News.